prisoners, killing people, or capturing and selling them into slavery, and creating general terror with their brutality. The Battle of Clontarf is recorded both in Irish annals and the most famous Icelandic saga, Njáls saga, where its main events are outlined and the foremost warriors are singled out. The saga poetically refers to the fray as a blood rain, a simple but effective metaphor for the slaughter of all those people. But unlike the Irish sources, it attributes this outpouring of blood to the agency of women. This is not to say that it was fought by female warriors. Although there may have been some women fighting along with the men, we have no record of them. Instead, the key agents of this bloodshed, according to Njáls saga, are Valkyries, the female supernatural beings who choose who dies or lives on the battlefield. They protect some, but guide spears, arrows, and sword blades into the bodies of others, the warriors fated to die. The method by which the Valkyries did this functions in exactly the same way as weaving, the work that Viking women did all the time. Njáls saga relates that a man called Dürröðr saw the most remarkable sight the same day as the battle was fought. Dürröðr was 500 miles away on Caithness, the northeastern tip of Scotland, and on that day he saw 12 mysterious people enter a house with a weaving loom. He approached the building, and letting his curiosity get the better of him, he peered in to see what they were up to. At first, everything looked normal. The figures he had spotted turned out to be women, and they had begun to weave on what in those days would have been a standing, warp-weighted loom. But soon it became clear to Dürröðr that this superficially domestic scene was in fact an event of utmost horror. The warp and weft which made up the fabric under production were entrails instead of yarn. The weights keeping the warps taut were human skulls, not stones. The women used a sword and arrowhead as tools to weave their bloody fabric. And to keep up the rhythm while they worked, the Valkyries energetically chanted songs about the unfolding battle. The spear women, as the Valkyries call themselves, revel in the clashes of swords and shields, the spattering of blood, and the spilling out of entrails. Their work gains momentum with the song's refrain, "Vindum, vindum, let's wind and wind," and we can sense the battle escalating. Calling the warriors whom they favor their dear ones, the Valkyries boast that they have the men's lives in their hands, and they promise to protect the leader of one of the warring sides against the onslaught of weapons. Their victory songs end suddenly. We can assume that the chosen warriors have now fallen, and the women tear up the red-gray textile they had woven, each of them holding on to their share. The Valkyries exit the building and ride off on their steeds, some to the north, others to the south, disappearing as quickly as they had appeared. Presumably, they made their way to the battlefield in Ireland to fetch the dead and carry them off to Sessrumnir, or Valhalla, the halls of the gods Freya and Odin, where, according to mythological sources, Viking warriors went if they died in battle. In the afterlife, they would fight for sport during the days and feast in the evenings until Ragnarok, the great war that is the doom of their gods, in which they are enlisted to fight the hostile armies of Jötnar that march on Asgard. Jötnar are mythical beings that are the frequent antagonists, but also romantic and sexual partners of the gods, that is, the Æsir and the Vanir. These verses, usually referred to as Darraðarjóð, the Song of the Dürröðr, though they would more aptly be called the Song of the Valkyries, are among the most gruesome poetry in Norse literature, and their depiction of the Valkyries as gleeful, blood-stained, even revolting creatures might come as a surprise to anyone who is familiar with Valkyries from popular culture.